Welcome to the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast. I'm Ashlyn Dave, your host. We've got a great show lined up, so let's get started.
All right, this is Ashlyn Dave, and this is the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast. Let's see, it is show number 78, and it is the week of October 9th, 2009, and I'm in Ashland, Virginia, center of the universe, at least that's what they call it here, and I guess since I've lived here, I've taken to calling it that. Today, I'm going to report on a good 18-mile training run I had over the past weekend. I look at 16 miles as not really a super long run like I do an 18-miler. I consider, hey, you want to go that way, Blue? I consider an 18-miler kind of up there with a 20-miler. So I'll talk a bit about that. Yeah, I did that run in segments, which I'll explain. Talk a little bit about the State Fair of Virginia, only because my family went there, me and my family, and it was an interesting experience. Doesn't really have anything to do with running, but I'll ramble a bit about that, and I guess I'll talk a bit about where I'm at right now. So where I'm at right now is the Washington Lacey Park, which is a underused Hanover County park, and I've got my almost 1-year-old yellow lab Blue with me this afternoon. It's gorgeous outside, low 70s, perfect day for running in the woods, and I've already hit a bunch of spider webs, which is indicative of this park, totally underused, probably nobody here all day. It's a multi-use park. I've talked about it before. It's a multi-use trail park, meaning horses, bikes, pedestrians, stuff like that. I guess that's about all. And probably not the best mountain biking terrain because it's kind of bumpy. But there's a area of the park that was here before the park was officially named. It's a pump track for bikes. And I've yet to bring my bike out here. I need to do that one of these days. Anyway, I'm with my dog Blue, and he's 11 months old. He'll be 1 on Halloween. He's a Halloween puppy. And he was basically little for a day. He's probably 80 pounds now, turning into quite a force to be reckoned with. He likes to be a little rascal, but he's brought a lot of happiness to the house. And compare that to our 13-year-old black lab named Basil. I've had her since she was a little puppy. Actually, my wife and I got her together after we got married almost 14 years ago, so she was a puppy. We'd been married for a little bit before we got her. Anyway, a little bit about this park. The last time I was here, I had reported that I feared the trails in here would get overgrown because of lack of use, and I haven't been here in a while, so I'm partly to blame, but I'm out here now, and I'm happy to report that the trails are easily visible. Clearly somebody's out here in this park, and I'm guessing the county probably maintains these trails. I mean, I guess they're supposed to. I mean, all the work they did creating them, I don't think somebody would let that go to waste. So here I am, Washington Lacey Park. Now, I don't think I can get 5 miles out of this trail network because I'll repeat back on myself too much. So I'm going to run the trails, head out to the road, run a mile down the road, come back, and then probably wrap it up at the park here because I drove out here. And I should be able to make 5 miles pretty easily. Anyway, it's a beautiful day for a run. Just felt like getting out of the neighborhood. And the last time that I went to the Jarnett Park, I always have a hard time saying that. Blue ran off from me in the woods and gobbled down a buffet of animal waste. We're not gonna do that today. He's real close to me right here. All right. Well, let's talk about the 18 miler. The reason it was significant for me is because I hadn't run that far since early May, last time I did a marathon. And I had some doubts, you know, internal doubts, I guess we all do from time to time, about our ability. And I had done 16 the week before, so I knew I could do it. One way or the other, I just didn't know how high the quality of the run was going to be. Now, I had friends that were running the Capital 10 miler, and I opted out of that to help a friend who's not a real long distance runner, but has the ability to run 3 miles, and so I was going to accompany him on his pumpkin run out at the Ashland Berry Farm. I think I'm off the trail here. Like on a fire road that I don't remember running down before. Oh, maybe I can get 5 miles out of this. Anyway, so what I did is I ran from my house to the Ashland Berry Farm with the goal of then running the 5K, refueling, and coming running back home. And I had checked out the distance and had figured out that it was going to be right around the 20 mile mark. Blue, let's turn around because, Blue, that trail peters out. Come on. So what I was going to do is just have somebody drive me 2 miles from the race site and drop me off 2 miles. And then by the time I got almost to my door, I'd be at the 18 mile mark. So I set out about 7:20 in the morning for the 8.7 mile run to the Berry Farm. Now, if you've listened to my show before, you'll know that I really like these achievement type of runs where you run somewhere where it's a point to point, or you run somewhere for a purpose as opposed to just running, you know, 5 miles down the road, turning around and retracing your exact steps. I'd much prefer to do a large loop, point to point, or like I did Saturday, which was kind of a new thing, run a distance to a race, perform the race, and then run home. So that's what I did, and I planned to get there about 10 minutes before the race started. That would give me time to get my bib, pin it on, meet and greet, howdy do to everybody that I knew, get some water, and stow away my little pouch that I was carrying with me, and make it to the starting line. So, which I did. I got there about 10 minutes till 9. Worked out real good. Had explained to about 5 or 6 people why I was already soaking wet with sweat. And promptly got in the starting area. 200 runners maybe. Wasn't real big, but wasn't small either. But the race didn't start till 17 minutes after 9. And I was really starting to piss me off. The reason that was starting to piss me off is because I wanted to get going. You know, not take a almost 30-minute break. So in some ways the 18 miler and my overall aggregate time on the 18 miler, it's not a true indicator of my ability to cover that distance because I took so much rest time. But anyway, so we get going and I'm running with my buddy Chris, fella I work with, and he's already starting to have trouble. It was a little bit of a hilly course, so he wanted to take some walk breaks, and I had, let me back up. Intervals on the way out there. What I did is I wanted to get a good jump on the time, so I didn't do anything until the 25 minute mark. Walked for 5 minutes, and then I experimented with an 8 and 2, and I really like that. I like the 8 and 2 a lot more than I like the 9 and 1. The reason is that 1 minute walk break after running for 2 hours goes by really fast. So then the 2 minute walk break is much better. And what was happening was I would start the 2 minute walk break and I wouldn't look at my watch until a minute had gone past. And I kept telling myself over and over, I'm so glad that I had another minute. So anyway, I did the 8 and 2. Very effective. I ran, and then I have to confess that I did run the last 2 miles to the Baird Farm because that was going to be on a road where people running the race were going to pass me. And I didn't want anybody to see me walking. So that's a true confession right there. Anyhow, I'm on a little hilly part here, losing my breath. So 8 and 2 really worked out good. So I get to the 5K with my buddy Chris. Fast forward back to where I was a second ago. And he wants to walk a little bit. And it didn't really bother me because halfway through the 5K, my blood sugar dropped really bad. And all I could think about were those donuts they had on the table at the end. Although those were for the volunteers, they weren't for the runners, but I just kept thinking, man, I need a sugar injection. All right, so we took a couple walk breaks, and he did fine. We finished up, and I made a little video of him coming in. I gave it to him today. All right, I'm here at the pump track, and they got a big, some kind of big tarp up here, like a shelter. It's really weird. Huh. Blue, come on. We're not going to run around the pump track. So, get to the finish. 31 or 35 minutes. I think it was 35 minutes was the finishing time. Real slow. Chris was saying, hey man, let's just run my speed. I said, that's fine. This guy is 230 pounds. So he's not a real fast runner. But I will give it to him at the end. He picked one heavyset guy that was up in front of us. And said we're going to beat him. And we did. So he did really good. I think he was a little embarrassed about his performance. Because we had several other guys we work with there. You know, all this male ego, testosterone and stuff. You know, ridiculous shit. And of course he came in last out of everybody. And well, you know, maybe that'll be a little bit of a catalyst for him to get out there and adjust his eating. Because he runs, but I think he needs more of a diet change, probably. Oh, my dog just ran off. Oh, you waiting on me now? You've been running behind me the whole time. So we got to the finish, and I made arrangements to get my free pumpkin taken home. I put my regular road gear back on, and another guy named Dave that was there gave me a 2 mile ride down the road and dropped me off and said, this is the guy actually that I was talking about last show about not having a marathon training program. He's just going to go out and run it. He just said, man, you're a stud. I said, well, not really. I just got to get my trainer on in. It's the bottom line. So I did the 8 and 2 all the way home, and I started teetering back and forth about doing the 20 miler because I was feeling pretty good. Now, I should have been feeling good. I had a damn 30 minute break in between there. You know, I had a break after the race, had some bagels, and what else do they have? Bananas, oranges. I mean, I just chowed. I was so hungry. And turned out that was the best thing to do because I had a real good run home. Even though the hills were steep, everything worked out real good for me. All right, mile check, 1.3 miles. Man, I am running slow. I'm at 17 minutes and I've hardly done anything. All right, so I got home, didn't do the 20 miles, just did the 18. But I was really torn over trying that because I was thinking, man, what if my 20 mile day is not as good as this day? And then what I decided to do was just stick with the 18 because I had the major breaks in there, and it wouldn't be a good measure of my ability to run 20. However, covering 18 that day is a good confidence builder for when I do the 20 miler in a couple weeks. So, man, how's that for some rambling? Ashland Dave's rambling podcast. How to change the name. I've said many times before on this podcast that if you want a surefire way, I can't even talk. Kind of like doing public math. If you want a surefire way to kill time on a training run when you're by yourself and you're a little sick of listening to your iPod, or you're sick and tired of listening to my podcast, if you're a regular listener, do your own. Do your own podcast. And you'd be surprised how many people, if you get it organized and kind of put something together, even experiment with it, you'd be surprised how many people would be interested in that. And I never thought that I would have a little bit of a following on my own show when I started doing this in, I guess, March of 08, I think, or 78 episodes ago, which is about 78 weeks ago, I guess. Anyway, this is a fallback week for me. Did a weekly mileage of 31 last week. That was with the 13 during the week added up, and then the 18 miler on the weekend. Hope that adds up to 31. And this is a fallback, so I think I have either a 10 or a 12 miler just, you know, in quotes, just a 10 miler or just a 12 miler on the weekend. And I'll do probably 15. I'll add it up this week and take it easy this weekend. And then ramp it up big time for the 20 miler. And I think I'm gonna do that with Tom. Let's go this way, Blue. Try to do that with Tom Grant. Now, speaking of 10 milers, we talk about the Capital 10 miler for a minute. I looked up my friend Stephanie's time, and I've talked about her before. She doesn't listen to the show. I've told her about it, and even though we're good friends, for some reason, she doesn't listen to the podcast, which that's okay. I wish she would, but as I do mention her, she's a real trooper. Came back from stress fracture problems, saw multiple doctors, and not only is she running the Richmond Marathon this fall, but she's injury free. She's done her 20 miler. No, she's doing the Marine Corps Marathon. She's already done a 20 miler, no injuries, and she crushed the 10 miler in an hour and 38 minutes and some change. And I'm really impressed because, you know, that's less than a 10 minute mile average. All right, Blue, what we're gonna do now is I'm gonna get him collared up or leashed up. Alright, got him leashed up. What we're gonna do now is run down the end of the road. It's called Woodside Drive, and it's a long straight road. I think it's about a mile. I'm gonna measure it this time. I've never measured it. Maybe half mile. Maybe between a mile and a maybe it's between a half mile and a mile. Anyway, I was talking about my friend Steph. I'm really impressed with her comeback. She was training. She had kind of come back from a stress fracture well over a year ago. And she went and got pregnant with her third child. So she's had three kids. And so I had to, you know, take a little bit of a breather in the, from running in the tail end of her pregnancy and then bounce back. I mean, it's a remarkable story. So anyway, she did really good. And I looked up Kelly's Maimon half finishing time, hour and 50 minutes and some change. And I gotta send her an email to see if that's a personal record. It's gotta be close. That is awesome. I mean, I had a hard enough time running 157 when I PR'd in the half. So that's pretty impressive, Kelly. I know you listen to the show sometimes. So well done. Let me know if that's a PR. All right, getting back to what I was saying a few minutes ago about starting your own podcast. And I'm not talking about this just because I need filler material for this show. I used to listen to Fidipidations. The reason I don't anymore is I just don't have the time. And all Steve did was encourage other people to start their own podcast. And so one reason why I liked him is that even though he kind of originated the idea, I guess, for the most part, you know, the running part of a show, the kind of virtually train with somebody in a weird way. You know, internet allows us to do lots of things we probably normally wouldn't do. You know, he's very encouraging, and I didn't have any personal relationship with him. I just remember him saying it a lot on the show. So I started one up, and it took a while for it to kind of get a format I was comfortable with. But here I am 78 episodes later, and just about every week I get an email from somebody who says they like the show. So that makes me feel really good, and it keeps me motivated and inspired to keep running. You know, run to the finish and keep on running. That's just kind of my motto. And even though I don't make any money or, you know, have thousands and thousands of downloads, it doesn't really matter because I get feedback for what I do, and right now I'm out here training, doing a 5-mile training run, talking to everybody who's listening while I do it, albeit delayed a bit because of editing and file transfer, you know, file transfer protocol uploading to a server, and then finding the time to publish the show and all that. But it keeps me inspired, and I went through kind of a low point several weeks ago where I was having trouble with the mental part of getting out here, and somehow I've gotten through that, and I think some of it might have had to do with having a good 16 to 18 mile training runs and realizing that mentally I can hang in there, you know, for over 3 hours, and which puts me into the fourth hour. And I know in a marathon there's no fifth hour for me. I try to finish before that 4.5 hour. And I don't know, I'm kind of getting off on a tangent. But anyway, start your own show. Just goof around with something. And the only key to having a podcast is you got to be able to keep talking. That's the key. You got to be able to keep talking. Because if you stop talking, people won't listen to your show. Maybe my talking is why people don't listen. I don't know. So anyway, if you thought about it, you should give it a try. Okay, I just measured that section of road that I had mentioned. It's pretty much right at a mile, most exactly. So that's pretty cool. So I'm gonna head on back in. That'll put me at the 4 mile mark. And for some reason, I'm just running like 5 minutes slower than normal. Then I'll do a little loop in the woods. That should wrap it up for five. I'm only doing five today. I want to stop at the store, pick up some cold beers for the ball game tonight. I'll be relaxing. I got so caught up in talking about everything else, I forgot to talk about the state fair. And I got one little thing to share about that. Is we went over the weekend because the state fair has been moved from Richmond Raceway Complex, which near the Richmond International Raceway, where they do the NASCAR events. They moved that up to a place called Meadow Park in Caroline County, right near Kings Dominion Theme Park, if you've ever heard of that, which is in Hanover. Fair is being right across the county line. It's the same horse farm where Secretariat was born, who was a Triple Crown winner. And what year, I do not know. I just know because there's a historical marker up there. Anyway, we went to State Fair. $5 to park. Three times, $13 to get in. So I'd spent $44 before even did anything. Bought ride tickets. Then we had to go to the bathroom. And you go in the bathroom, very clean. There's a guy sitting there. He's got a little tray of money in front of him. And over top of the urinals, they got signs that say, "Please tip the attendant." Now, that's just bullshit. I mean, this is America. You should be able to go to the bathroom for free. You know, after you pay $13 to get in. But, you know, you feel bad walking past the guy if he's spending his day in the men's room cleaning it. I guess he's getting a salary. I just have a hard time tipping at a state fair. I mean, I can see going to the Jefferson, which is Richmond's nicest hotel and restaurant kind of thing. I mean, the men's room there, they have a guy in there that, you know, gives you what you need. I mean, they've got cologne in there. They got special soaps. I mean, this is a guy that caters to you. At the state fair, this was just a guy sitting on a stool. And I mean, they were cleaning. So, I mean, I threw a dollar in the basket. I mean, kind of hard to walk past a guy that clearly is just working for a low hourly wage, probably minimum. You know, not thinking we would get our hands so messy with the food we're eating. So later I had to go again. We went to a different place and I decided to do a little investigating because there were two entrances for the women's room and only one for the men. And so I decided to kind of figure out, okay, do they have, one was an entrance, one was an exit. Well, it turns out they had a female attendant at both the entrance and the exit. The men's room, they had blocked off the exit, but they only had one attendant. I just think that's cheesy. I mean, that reminded me of when I've been in Europe when I was younger and with my whole family. This was when I was growing up. And my mom and my sister had to pay a lady sitting, this was I think in Italy, for a little square of TP. You actually had to pay for it. Just the women. I don't remember having any issues. I just think that's a pretty sad state of affairs. But on the flip side of that, with the amount of people that were there, spending the same amount for ticket prices that I did, you can't tell me there's not too much wrong with our economy. I mean, there are a lot of people there. Lots. All right, walk break. You ever know the exact point when new shoes are broken in? I mean, is there an exact point, or is it a gradual thing? I mean, I've still got my A6 2140s on. I mean, they're officially broken in now, and they don't even look new anymore. But I don't know when that point happened. It just happened. Just wondering if you ever thought about that.
All right, let's get to the email bag section of the show. I got some good ones here. Heard from Rich, Bert, Heather. I got spammed on the website. I'll mention that. And Dr. Smitty. And I think I got one more here. Let's see if I can find it. That's it. So, heard from Rich. Rich got the swine flu. He's out of Texas, the Woodlands. And actually, his younger daughter and he both got it. And he hadn't run in about a week since the time I got his email, which I got back on, I guess, October 7th. So he missed a 14-mile training run. He's running the Austin Marathon in February. He's training for that, but he's got races before that. But he is going to do the Texas 10-miler, which is Saturday, October 12th. I'm not sure which Saturday, because October 10th, I think, is the Saturday. He might have just had the date wrong, but he's going to do the 10-miler, even though he was sick for a little bit. So, Rich, I hope you're better. I'm kind of curious, how bad is the swine flu? I think we just got a whole host of vaccines up here in Hanover, so I guess I'm going to sign up to get one of those. Haven't decided yet, but I hope you're feeling better, and run on, man. Hopefully, hope you do well on the 10-miler. Give me a race report if you got time. Appreciate the email. Rich is a long-time listener, very loyal. Appreciate it. He also loves Hawaii 5-0. So that's why sometimes if he writes in and I'll change the music in the background to the Hawaii 5-0 theme song from the TV show. So I don't know, Rich, if you picked up on that a show or so ago, I put that in the background. Heard from Bert out of South Carolina. He's runs in Bennettsville, South Carolina, which he indicated is 310 miles south of the center of the universe. And I thought that was funny. He is very interested in hearing about the run, walk, interval running, and he said he has employed that same method for some of his longer runs and agrees that the hardest part is actually convincing yourself to walk. And again, I mentioned, unless you can run the whole 26.2 miles without walking at all, not everybody can do that, you know. And I'm talking about the death march at the end when you're just totally exhausted. What you do is you do your walking earlier, so you're not doing it at the end. You're fresher to finish those final miles and try to run, you know, more even splits than you know, running 9-minute miles at the beginning and 11-minute miles at the end. Anyway, he's curious to know how the 9-to-1 ratio works. What I will say today, Bert, is I did 13 miles today. This is a different day. I usually put the show together in pieces. And it was very, very humid outside. And my daughter had a sleepover with a friend last night. So my wife and I had just an evening together. And we drank a little too much wine. So I had a little bit of a headache this morning. So my run was a disaster. And I did 8 and 2. And it didn't really work out that well for me. So I guess, you know, the key is just changing it around. Anyway, thanks for the email, and I hope to hear from you again. And let me know what races you got coming up. I'm kind of curious what they do down in Bennettsville, and I'm not even sure what that's close to in South Carolina. I'll have to look it up. But it's good to hear from you, and thanks for the email. He is one of the people that posts his mileage on Buckeye Outdoors for the podcast challenge, which I checked it this morning. I'm way down in the standings. So y'all that are signed up need to get your mileage up and enter it. Got a comment on the website from Heather out of Chesapeake, and I have corresponded with her in the past. I assisted her with some advice when she ran her first marathon in Richmond last year. I never ran into her down there. I was down there for it. I didn't run it. But she's back at it again. She's doing the Outer Banks Full Marathon, which is on November 8th. And she hopes that maybe our paths will cross. Heather, I'm going to be doing the half down there, and I will be over at my brother's coffee shop probably that afternoon. You mentioned that you're going to be going over there. That's at the Milepost 13 on Virginia Dare Trail in the Surfside Plaza. You can't miss it. It's right on the corner. And it's where the Harley-Davidson dealership is down there in that little shopping center. And she is, let's see, Heather's also considering the Seashore 50K in December. So, and that's the race I'm already signed up for. Well, Heather, I'll tell you, if you are going to sign up for that or have any inklings of doing it, I would recommend going ahead and signing up because I think there might be a cap at 200 runners. I'm not really sure. Dr. Smitty might know better. I'll have to check the website. But there is a link to that on ashlanddave.podbean.com. I think it's in show number 77's posting there. There's a link to that race. But yeah, hopefully I do get to meet you, Heather. I tell you what, I think, well, I don't know what you look like. So I will be there watching some of the marathoners come in. But believe it or not, I might be already gone by the time you finish because that'll be a couple hours after I'm done. I'm guessing you're about a four-hour marathoner. So I don't know. Maybe I'll see you over at the coffee shop. But yeah, maybe we'll see each other at the 50K. So good luck to you. I think that's great that you're doing another marathon. I wish you the best. And drop me an email. Let me know how your training's going. It sounds like you're very excited about the race, and it's nice to hear from you. Glad that you're still out there doing the training and listening to the show. Okay, I got spammed on my the video I did about John's coffee shop. I got a spam from a website called, I think it's roastee.com, and it said, Center of the Universe will never guarantee you anything unless you give quality. And I don't know what that means exactly. I think what they're doing is someone's got it set up so whenever somebody does an internet posting with coffee in it or something, they check it out, and then if you click on it, it goes to their website. So I deleted that comment, but I thought it'd be funny, and I gave my brother the business for telling him I got spammed on behalf of him. All right, last one but not least, heard from Dr. Smitty, and he liked the Tiger Trot video, which is on ashlanddave.podbean.com, and he liked the mix of the Benny Hill theme show music with the band Cake, and he never thought he would hear those two together. And you know what? You probably never will again. Never will again. And I'll probably get in trouble for putting the Cake song on there called "The Distance." When I uploaded it to YouTube, there was some message saying it's copyrighted and all that. There's so much, you know, copying of music going on in such large scales that I don't think anybody's gonna be too concerned about my little rinky-dink podcast that only about 300 people listen to. So I think I'll be okay there, but Dr. Smitty, thanks for the comment on the site, and I will definitely be seeing you at the Seashore 50K in December. Looking forward to that. I'm hoping my training goes well. I'm hoping that I have a good showing in Richmond, and then I run that, and hopefully that'll springboard me right into a possible 50-miler in March down in Mississippi. So don't know yet. I'm kind of, you know, thinking a little ahead of myself, but that is a distance that I do want to try someday. So, and might as well do it now while I've got the fitness. All right, well, that is it for this week. Got a couple other things here. Let me plug a local race. Harvest Run, Ashland Harvest Run, October 24th. It's coming up, and that's going to be over at Carter Park. It's a 10K. I think they have a 5K fun walk, but the 10K is the real race. That's my scheduled 20-miler, so I'm not really sure how to handle all that. And I'm on the board of directors for the Hanover Arts and Activities Center, and we've gotten a request to be course marshals for that race because the Ashland Women's Club is actually who sponsors the race. And it's a charity race. They do it to benefit some organizations. Apparently, they provide the marshals for the Ashland Railroad Run, which is sponsored by the Arts and Activities Center. So being a new board member, I didn't know that. So I think we're being asked to marshal or otherwise volunteer. So maybe I will do that and just do the 20-miler on Sunday. I haven't decided yet. But anyway, if you're local and you're interested in a real good 10K, great door prizes. I mean, that's just a tradition here in town when we have these races to have lots of good giveaways. Ashland Harvest Run, October 24th. I think its start time is 9, and you can go to ashlandharvestrun.com for more information. Also, I wanted to mention the music that I use in this show. I use GarageBand, you know, loop music, but I also use music by Derek Miller a lot. And he's I always put the link on the site, but if you ever want to check it out, he does all his music on GarageBand, And it's pretty remarkable what it does, what he does. It's called Pen Machine, and you can check his music out at penmachine.com. And, of course, the Star-Spangled Banner at the end is by the United States Marine Corps Band. All right, still currently testing out the Stuff-Its that to keep my shoes nice and smelling fresh and clean after today's run, and it was a total sauna. My shoes are so wet that water was seeping out during the run. So Stuff-Its are now they're undergoing the Stuff-Its challenge at the moment, and I'll be reporting on that in future shows. So if you just got to know right now what Stuff-Its are, you can go to Stuff-Its.com. Check those out. I got them for free, and I'm going to give a true opinion on how they work over the next couple weeks, and it actually might be something that I decide to start purchasing in the future if it's a good product. So go to stuffwith.com if you need to know what those are. Otherwise, you can just wait for a future podcast. So, all right, that's it for this week. This is Ashland Dave. I'm in the center of the universe, Ashland, Virginia, reminding you to run to the finish and keep on running. Y'all have a good week.
Hi, this is Ashland Lucy. If you're headed to the Outer Banks, stop by my Uncle John's Coffee Shop, Milepost 13 on the Beach Road in downtown Nagshead. He's open 7 days a week. Uncle John has a full line of specialty coffees, ice cream, fruit smoothies, free Wi-Fi, and a really cool misting bar outside. I Love Coffee is a great way to start or end your day at the beach. Make sure you check out the specials board when you visit.
John opens early for fishermen and other early birds. His coffee is always fresh. I Love Coffee is located in the Surfside Plaza at 4104 South Virginia Dare Trail. That's milepost 13 on the beach road near Jockey's Ridge.
See you there! I'm gonna record that.
Thank you.